This sermon was downloaded from spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
This weekend, we are looking at what we call spiritocracy. And the idea of spiritocracy is a word that I came up with when I just couldn't find a better word for what I want to discuss this weekend. And what I want to discuss this weekend basically is an excursus into the world of spirits, and to show to us the various possibilities that are available to us as believers in the spirit. I mean, opportunities that are available in the spirit. And the whole idea of calling it spiritocracy is loosely borrowed from the concept of leadership. Political leadership, for instance. We talk about militocracy. We talk about democracy. So that's where the whole idea of the cracy in front of spirit is coming from. So I'm looking at spiritocracy. You can basically look at it as the supremacy of the spirit, or you can look at it as the rulership of the spirit, or you can look at it as the government of the spirit. As I'm going to be showing in the course of this series, this month we are taking just the first episode. Hopefully we'll be delving deeper, at least for an extra month, which would be the DAP for the next month, for the coming month. So that's why this is Spiritocracy 1. Now, the idea here is that the rule of the spirit is basically the only rule that there can be, if I may put it in that way. I'm going to be showing to us in the course of this study that if it is not of the spirit, it cannot rule. Every rulership, every authority, every influence in territories and in settings must have its origin in the spirit. And so that's the idea of spiritocracy, that the spirit is where everything that moves things, everything that brings about influence, it has its origin in the spirit. And so if you are not anchored or grounded in the spirit, you have no chance whatsoever of making any dent in that realm. And so the God that we serve is spirit, and the God that we serve has made everything that we rule to be a spirit entity in one form or the other. And if you are not operating from that level of being a spirit entity, you will not be able to exert influence at all, wherever it is that you may find yourself, or whatever it is that you are. Not just about wherever you find yourself, but whatever it is that you are. If you are human, if you are non-human, you are not going to be able to exert any level of authority if you do not have spiritual capacity, or if you do not have certain anchors in the spirit. Now, this weekend, I am hoping that I would be able to touch a couple of things. Number one, I'll be looking at the kinds of spirit. I'm not talking of types, I'm talking about kinds of spirits. And then I'll be in talking about the kinds of spirit. When I'm done talking about the kinds of spirit, I'm going to be talking to us about the volitional capacity of spirits. The volitional capacity of spirits. That spirits have volitional capacity is something that, and you will see why that is important as we go on. Now, after that, I'm also going to be showing to us that there is a hierarchy in the spirit. Spiritual hierarchy, if you like. We'll be dealing with that And I'm sure that is very obvious as to why that might be an important thing to deal with. Spiritual hierarchy would be something that I would also touch on in the course of our meeting this evening. Now, if you have followed me up onto this point, the idea that I'm espousing is that everything that must matter in the realm of the spirit. Everything at all that must matter in the realm of the spirit. And if you do not matter in the realm of the spirit, then you do not matter at all. If you want to matter at all, then you have to matter in the spirit. Now, let's delve in. If you permit me, I'd like for us this evening to start by looking at the kinds of spirit. The kinds of spirit. What kinds of spirits are there? And I said, I'm not talking about types. I'm talking about kinds. That there are kinds of spirits. Obviously, number one would be to say that God is a kind of spirit. And when I'm talking about God, I'm talking about God in the sense of the creator. That God the creator is a kind of spirit. And kind because it is like a species altogether. It's a kind. So you talk about humankind. There's something as the feline nature, if you like, feline cat, the world of cats. And then you can also talk about different kinds of entities. You have apes or birds. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm referring to when I'm talking about kind. Now, God is a kind of spirit. God is a kind of spirit. If you don't get that at this moment, you are going to get it as I go on in this study. Now, so God is a kind of spirit. Now, there are other kinds of spirit. Now, but all other kinds of spirits can be put into one category. That would be the category of created spirits. Created spirits. So in looking at kinds of spirit, you can group spirits into two major kinds. The first kind would be the uncreated spirit. And then the second kind would be created spirits. Among created spirits, you can also subdivide created spirits into a number of kinds. What I'm going to do is basically to subdivide created spirits into two major kinds. And those kinds would be heavenly spirit beings. That's one category of created spirits. I'm talking about heavenly spirits or invisible spirits. Let's just use the word heavenly, and I'll explain it in a moment, because even the falling angels and falling spirits are falling from someplace. Basically, they are falling from someplace, and that place would be heaven. So heavenly created spirit, another word would be invisible created spirit. And then the second category would be the human spirit. So there is a heavenly created spirit, and then there is a human spirit. These are the two subdivisions within the subcategory of created spirit. So it means that in all, there are four kinds that I'm trying to espouse now. Some people would even say five. No, three. I'm espousing three. Some other persons would espouse four. And some other persons would even espouse more than four. But I want us to keep it simple. So to start again, there are kinds of spirits. And I said that the spirits that I am talking about can be divided broadly into two kinds or two categories. Category number one can simply be called the uncreated spirit. That's category number one. Category number two would be created spirit. So you can divide them into created and uncreated. And then secondly, you can just divide them along the lines of their kinds without regard to whether one is necessary, uncreated, or it is created and contingent. And if you take that route, I'm saying that we can have three. That means God, the uncreated spirit. Number two, you'll be looking at heavenly spirit beings. And then number three, you'll be looking at human spirit. So again, God, heavenly spirit beings, and human spirit. These are the three kinds of spirit that I'm going to be looking at in the course of our study. When you look at heavenly spirit beings, you would immediately realize that there is a positive side and there's a negative side. The positive side is a side of spirits that are still in obedience and allegiance to the Lord. And then the negative sides are the spirits that are in rebellion against God. Now, God is not just a spirit. God is spirit. That's the exact wording of scripture. And we're going to be reading a number of Bible passages as we go on in this study. That God is spirit. What I'm doing at this point is to start now to look at each of the kinds in the three categories that I've mentioned. And those categories again would be God, the uncreated spirit, and then number two, heavenly spirit beings, and then number three, the human spirit. So these are the three categories of spirits that I want us to look at.
The idea that God is spirit is an idea that talks about the sort of being that God is. I don't know if you got the prior point I was making. So when we say, for instance, that John has a dog, or John has, or John himself is human. John is a person, so John is human. If John has a bird, a dove, and John gives that dove the name Lucy, we can therefore say that John is human, but Lucy is avian, all right? That talks to the nature of the being, the nature of the thing that John is on the one hand, and the nature of the thing that Lucy is on the other hand. So when we say that God is spirit, that is the sort of thing that we are alluding to in that statement. So God is spirit, not just that God has a spirit, not just that God is a spirit, but we are saying God is himself spirit. And in John's Gospel chapter 4, maybe we should just read. Let me read from John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. This is Jesus responding to the woman at the well. And he says, the hour is coming and is now here. This is from the ESV. The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, so that's the first thing to say about the first category of spirit, that God is spirit, and God is the uncreated, uncaused spirit. So I like to say that God is the king spirit. God is the monarch spirit. Every word that we use, every adjective that we use to define God, or to describe God rather, must be understood in their absolute superlative sense, the absolute possible superlative sense. Because God is not just a spirit that is a king spirit, that is a monarch spirit. God is all of these things and to the highest possible level, infinitely, if you like. God is infinite in this. These adjectives must be understood to infinity if you want to address them to God. So when you think of God being spirit, it means that God himself is the locus of what spirit is. When you say that God is a monarch spirit, it means that God takes the definition of monarchy to its highest possible degree, to its highest possible level. When we say God is a king spirit, it means that the idea of kingship is an idea that with God must be understood to the highest possible level. Now, that's the sort of idea I want you to have in your mind as we talk about God and the fact that God is spirit, and God being spirit is a category all by itself. Number two, in relation to God being spirit, is that God is not just spirit, but like I had initially mentioned, God is the creator spirit, God is a king spirit, God is a monarch spirit. In talking about spiritocracy, this becomes very important, because spiritocracy, the way I blended those words together, is spirit and crazy, which is just a play on words like democracy, like militocracy, the rule of the people or the rule of the military. So what I was saying was that God as a king spirit was the point I was trying to deal with. And when I'm dealing with God as a king spirit, I'm basically saying that God is to be understood not just as a spirit and not just as spirit, but God is to be understood as the one that is at the top of the hierarchy. If there is such a thing as hierarchy in talking about God, God will be the one at the top of that hierarchy in dealing with the realm of the spirit and the constitution of that world. Now, God is a king spirit, but that is not all. When we say God is a king spirit, we are talking about rulership, we are looking about God being a monarch, and all of those kinds of things. But much more than that, we are saying that God is a ruler spirit, a ruler spirit. I'm going to be showing to you a couple of passages, and there's one of the passages we are going to be reading is going to be a major passage for the rest of this study, because there are so many questions that are answered in just that one passage of scripture. Just that one passage of scripture. Number one, the first passage I want us to read would be Psalm 115 verse 3. In the KJV it says, "But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased." But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this, like I said, is that passage that is going to be an important key as we go on in the rest of this study. God is a king spirit, and that's what I'm dealing with now. The fact that God is a king spirit, God is a monarch spirit, God is the uncreated spirit, God is a ruler spirit. This passage of scripture says that our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Ladies and gentlemen, there are sometimes when we talk about the fact that human beings have agency to do things, to will to obey God, to will to act, or to will to not act. Sometimes people may think that we are arrogating or attributing too much to man, to say, you know, man cannot be that powerful because there's a God in heaven and all of that. Now, the point is this. There's a God in heaven, and that God is a ruler God. That God is a monarch spirit. And the Bible, where we just read, it says, our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. If it has pleased God that God will grant agency to man, then that is what God has pleased. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. We cannot be asking God, Because you are God, why is it that human beings are able to do this, or even angels are able to do that, or some other spirit being are able to do some other kinds of things? The passage we just read is saying that our God is in the heavens. He is in the heavens, and from that heavens, he has done whatsoever has pleased him. This is very, very critical, and you may not see it now, but you're going to see it as we continue in the course of our study. So we have said God is in a kind all of his own, as a kind of spirit. We can say God, that's one kind. But then I'm saying in pursuit to that God is not just a kind of spirit, but the kind of spirit that God is important for us to understand that he's a monarch spirit. He's a ruler spirit. He's a king spirit. And the passage that we have just read is Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens, and he has done whatever he has pleased. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatever he has pleased. So God rules by fiat. That means God rules by veto. A monarch is a king. And normally, typically, the word of the king is law. The word of the king is a decree. The king in a monarchy, there is no national assembly or senate or that kind of thing. The word of the king is law. When you look at the kings that their accounts are documented in the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar and the rest of them, the kings of Babylon, the kings of Chaldean, the Chaldean kings and, all of those kings that we read about in the Old Testament. You imagine that a king can wake up one morning and just feel, you know what? I want to be worshipped. And that's all. If he says, I want to be worshipped, make an image of myself and put it up there. Nobody's going to look the king in the eye and say, well, but the bill has not yet been passed by the legislature. No, that's not how kingship works. That's not how a monarchy works. I'm saying that God is a monarch spirit. He is in the heavens, and he has done whatever he has pleased. Anything that God pleases, God does. And we're going to see that it is in the pleasure of God. It is actually in pursuit of God's pleasure that God has created other kinds of spirit. So when we're looking at spiritocracy and we're looking at the world of spirit, the rule of spirits, it's important for us to know that nothing else is there to consider if it was not the fact that it has pleased God to create, and in particular to create spirit entities or spirit beings. How is this possible? Why did God do this? We may know why, we may not know why, but what is sufficient is that God is in the heavens and he has done whatever he has pleased. One of the things that has pleased God is to make other spirit entities. And you are going to be, we're going to be delving into the ways that the other categories of spirit, that they are like God, and the way that they differ from God. When we talk about being image bearers, the imago Dei, when God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness and let them have dominion. When God said to make man in our own image, he was referring to something very specific when he used the language of image. We're going to be looking at the implication of being image bearers of God, because as you will also see, that is only possible in virtue of the human spirit. It's in and with our spirits that we are imagers of God, that we are image bearers of God. So I'm going to run, because what I'm doing is just basically to run through the three categories or kinds of spirits that I mentioned earlier on. And I did say that one kind is God, the other kind are heavenly spirit beings, and then the third kind is the human spirit. Now, when we say God, but then I said that we need to understand that God is a creator and God is a king spirit. And one of the passage is Psalm 115. When we say God is a creator spirit, it means that every spirit, every other spirit that exists, the other categories or the other kinds, the heavenly being or heavenly spirit and the human spirit, they both owe their existence to God. For instance, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7, scripture tell us that, and of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirit and his ministers a flame of fire? who makes his angels spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. So God is the one that makes angels. Whatever angels are, he's the one that makes them. In fact, the Bible says he makes his angels spirit. He makes them spirit. So God is responsible for the actuality that we call spirit as, that we call angels as spirit. God is the one that made them. He made angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. In the book of Numbers, so angels basically is talking about messenger. Angel is a designation, a description of a work. It's like a role, a description of a role. The word messenger is the word, the word angel is the word messenger, is a role. And there are different beings in the spirit that God sends on errand. And the idea of being sent on errand is the idea of being a messenger. That's where the word angel comes from. We know we lump a lot of things into that category and we all call them angels, but there are all kinds of spirit beings that are not called angels because they are not messenger spirits, even though they are heavenly spirit beings. I'm using that broad category of heavenly spirit beings to understand every other kind of spirit person or spirit entity that is not human and that is not uncreated. I'm lumping them into that category of heavenly spirit beings. And the passage we have just read says to us that it is God that makes his angels spirit. So God is creator spirit. God is a monarch spirit. God is a king spirit. In the capacity of God as creator spirit, the scripture tells us that he's responsible for the making of angels. What of the human spirit? As the creator spirit, the Bible says to us in Numbers chapter 16, verse 22. Numbers chapter 16, verse 22. The Bible says, and I read, this reading is from the ESV. He says, and they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will you be angry with all the congregation? Now, the part of this passage that is very important to where we are, what we are doing, is the way that Moses and the and Aaron, the way that they framed this prayer that they were praying to the Lord. So they fell on their faces, Numbers 16:22. They fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh. So there is the spirit of flesh. That's the spirit of man, basically. And what they said in this prayer is that God is a God of the spirit of all flesh. So if there is any flesh in which there is spirit, if there is any flesh in which there is spirit, God is the creator of the spirit. God is the God of the spirit of all flesh. He's a monarch spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, I cannot express this enough, that our God is in heaven and he has done whatsoever he has pleased. That is monarchy par excellence, that there is no querying, there is no questioning of the actions of God or the activities of God. Nobody can put God on restraint, or nobody can say, what is it that you are doing? The Bible says, and I want you to follow this very carefully, the Bible says that these men that were praying to God, in addressing God, they said to God that, God, you are the God of the spirit of all flesh. So God is spirit. There are heavenly spirit beings, and then there's a human spirit. But God is very different from these other categories of spirits in the sense that he is uncreated, in the sense that he is a monarch, he is the infinite monarch spirit, the infinite king spirit, the infinite creator spirit, uncaused, uncreated, necessary in his very existence. But the other categories are not so. The other categories are derived spirits. They are created spirit. And I have shown you two passages of scripture, one addressing the heavenly spirit beings and the other one addressing human spirit, to say that God is creator of both. Remember, in Hebrews 1:7, that he makes his angels. He's the one that makes his angels. He makes them spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. He makes his angels spirits and his ministers of flame of fire. And then in the passage that we read from Numbers chapter 16, verse 22, Moses and Co praying to the Lord, they said, "Oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, the God of the spirits of all flesh." So there is flesh and there is spirit that is in flesh. And they said, God is the God of the spirits of all flesh. I'm going to stop here in dealing with God, and let me see if I can run through the other two categories, at least just to anchor those categories from scriptures, and then we close for the evening. Now, number two, the second category that I talked about is created a heavenly spirit, created heavenly being, or created heavenly spirit. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 will be a very, very popular passage. In the ESV, it says, "And to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they," that is angels, "are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" And then the other passage that we already read, the same Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7, "And of the angels," he said, "who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." So the idea here is to say that there is a category of beings, or there's a category of spirits that are heavenly beings. So they are created, but they are heavenly beings created as spirits. That's one of the categories. These angels, generally, scriptures will lump them in the category of everything else that is in the invisible world where God himself is domiciled. That which is unembodied, that which is non-corporeal, that which is non-material, yet is an agent, or has agency, has volition. And as I said earlier on, we're going to be looking at that volitional issue at all the levels. Volition at all the levels. At the level of God, at the level of heavenly created spirit, and at the level of the human spirit. Because if you are talking about the rule of spirit, if you are looking at spiritocracy, it's important to understand the basis on which spirits are able to rule. And one of the subheadings I have here is actually to say that anything that is, and I think I mentioned that in the opening, let me see the way that I have, I designated it, and I said only spirits can rule. Only spirits can rule. We're going to get there in the course of time. But for now, we've seen also from scriptures that the category of heavenly created spirit is a category that the Bible recognizes. That category exists, and angels is the most popular way that people understand that category. But as we go on, you are going to see that there are a whole lot of other terminologies that scripture uses, because there are classes, there are different classes of and hierarchies, and those hierarchies imply that some of them are messenger spirits, which will be properly the kind of spirits that we should call angels. And some of them are not messenger spirits, but they are spirit beings nonetheless, created by God, heavenly in terms of their territoriality, or in terms of their realm, they are heavenly. Number three is the third kind of spirit is the human spirit, the human spirit. A lot of passages here. In Job chapter 32, verse 8, the Bible says, "But there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." There is a spirit in man. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, the Bible says, "The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That means God put spirit into the man as a means of interacting with man. Candle, the candle of the Lord, the spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So in order for God to x-ray the human person, for God to look into the human person, as it were, for God to be able to interact with the human person, the facility that God has put inside the human person is spirit. This ties into one of the popular misconceptions, which I think a number of you must have heard me deal with from time to time, is the fact that there's a notion that man is spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. But you see, the Bible is saying here that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, not the spirit which is man. Concerning angels, the Bible says they are ministering spirits. Angels are spirits, all right? He makes his angels spirits. And concerning man, even though spirit is in the picture, the spirit is not the referent, as it were. That spirit is one of the components or the compositions or the ingredients that came together in order for us to have man. So there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, very popular passage of scripture, also Paul praying for the Thessalonian believers says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul here itemizes the components of the people he was speaking to. And he mentions your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This also means that the spirit of a man can be blameworthy, because Paul is saying that spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. The notion, for instance, in some quarters that, oh, the recreated human spirit cannot sin, or spirit cannot sin. That notion is not a biblical notion. It's a notion that is foreign to scripture in all kinds of places. In 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible says to honor God therefore with your body and your spirit, which are God's. With your body and your spirit, because both of them are God's. In chapter 7, verse 1, it talks about filthiness of spirit and of soul, that we should lay aside the filthiness of spirit and of soul, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why you need to follow this and follow it carefully is because, like I said, we're going to be looking at the fact that only spirits can rule. Only spirits can rule. And that's why this series is called Spiritocracy, because we are looking at the rule of spirit. But you need to understand, in order to understand the rule of spirits, you need to understand the landscape of spirits, you need to understand types of spirit, kinds of spirit, and all of that. But the idea is spiritocracy. And the spiritocracy, like I've already established, is the rule of the spirit. I took that, I coined that word from things like militocracy, democracy, which is a kind of government. So when we are talking about spiritocracy, it's a kind of government. We need to understand the way that the king spirit, the ultimate king spirit, which is God, there is a way that God rules. And then heavenly created spirit beings, they also rule in virtue of being spirit. And I'm going to be looking at that. The human spirit also was meant to be a ruler spirit. In fact, in looking at this human spirit, maybe tomorrow morning, I will be able to develop it more by looking at that passage in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, all the way to 28, when God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, over every creeping thing, and over the cattle, and everything that moves upon the air. The Bible says, So God, created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. If you have followed me a little bit, you would realize that you would understand now that I would say that what happened in Genesis 1, 26 to 28 has to do with the spirit of man, the spirit of man. It is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 particularly, that we see the material component of the man. So when Moses and co said that God is a God of the spirit of all flesh, that spirit is what was actualized in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28. Now, but when it says God is a God of the spirit of all flesh, the flesh that is involved was what we have the account in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. In Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we see the material component of man in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28, what we have there is the immaterial component of man. That is the spirit of man. And I, like I said, that only spirits can rule. Only spirits can rule. Whether you are looking at it from our standpoint as in the case of human spirits, or you are looking at the other disembodied or the other non-corporeal spirits, the idea is anything that bears rule as defined by God has to be a spirit. It is in God's very nature. It's in virtue of God being spirit that God has made every other kind of entity that he wants to have them rule. And you may want to ask yourself, but why is it only spirits that rule? Why is it that is, well, the answer is Psalm 115. Our God is in the heaven and he has done whatsoever he has pleased. So this is what has pleased God. As far as God is concerned, what pleased God is that only spirits can rule. This is why you must get this and get it very well. So the point I was making, looking at this third kind of spirit, which is a human spirit, is to say that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, when God said, let us make man, and then God created man, that man that God created is non-corporeal. It's the invisible, unseen component of the man that God created. It was in Genesis 2, 7 that God now formed the physical component of the man. So this is the point. It is when God created man in Genesis 1, 26, 27, he indicated it in 26, he carried it out in 27, and then he commissioned them in verse 28. All of that is around the spirit of man. So when God said, when the Bible says in Genesis 1, 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish of the sea, over the birds, over the creeping thing that moves on the earth, over all the earth, and over the cattle of the earth, and over all the earth. All of that happened as interaction between spirit and spirit. Get this before we close. This is spirit and spirit. It is God as spirit, God as spirit. The first thing God did in actualizing man was to create the spirit of man in Genesis 1, 27. How do I know it's a spirit of man? I've explained already that it was in Genesis 2, verse 7 that God finally formed the body of man. So what you have in Genesis 1, 26, 27 is spirit. So it was to that spirit of man that God created in Genesis 1, 27 that God was commissioning, or God was speaking. It was to that spirit God was speaking in Genesis 1, 28. And Genesis 1, 28 is what we call the cultural mandate, where God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. It is in virtue of man being a spirit, or having a spirit component, I mean to say, or it is in virtue of the spirit of man that man is able to do all of those things. These are not things that happen simply because you have molecules and you have a white blood cell. No, the animal component of man in large part is very similar to the animal component of a lot of other animals. So if you check in biology, for instance, they will tell you the similarity between the DNA of man and the DNA of a gorilla, or even the DNA of man and the DNA of a banana, you know, something like that. And they will say to you that, you know, there's 90 whatever percent similarity between the DNA of man and the DNA of the ape. Well, all of that is material. All of that is material. And if God formed man from the dust of the ground, and it was from the same dust of the ground that God actualized other animals, then there's nothing, there's no big deal in trying to say, but if God exists, or if some kind of Darwinian evolutionary theory is not true, then why is there so much similarity between man and ape and in their DNA and all of that? Well, there is a major dissimilarity between man and the ape. And that dissimilarity is the fact that man has a spirit, and it is only spirits that can rule. So when God wanted to have a ruler entity in the physical world, even though it was going to be in the physical world, because it is only spirits that can rule, God did not create a totally physical entity. God created something that was a composite of both the physical and the non-physical, because only spirits can rule. Now, I'm going to leave it at that point for the evening, because we are just about 7 minutes to the end of when we are supposed to close this meeting for the evening. But I think what we've been able to do this evening so far, which I think is good enough, is that we have been able to lay basic foundations. And we started by saying spiritocracy is just a play on words. I've been having a hard time trying to know how to label Doctrine and Power for this month. And I think I even mentioned it during the last month's edition. And I had that difficulty all the way till early this week. I was driving back, I was coming back from a trip on Tuesday, when it finally dropped on me. Why not work with spiritocracy? Spiritocracy. It's a play on words, spirit and crazy, just like we have military and crazy, militocracy, democracy, demography. That's people, demography, all right? So demography and democracy is the rule of the people. At least that's the general idea. So that's where this whole idea of spiritocracy comes from. And so we say spiritocracy is basically understanding the world of spirit, understanding the rule of spirit. Eventually, we are going to be doing understanding the war of spirit, the war of spirit. So we are looking at the world of spirit. We'll be looking at the rule of spirit, which is really what is at the heart of spiritocracy, the idea of spiritocracy. And we said there are three kinds of spirit. There are different ways of categorizing spirit. So even myself, I did that in two ways, to say you can use two. And basically would be created and uncreated. Created spirit and uncreated spirit. That can be a very basic way to designate spirit, or to categorize spirit. The uncreated spirit is God. Created spirit, therefore, is all the other spirits that exist apart from God. And when we are talking about God, we are talking about the Christian concept of God, which is basically Trinitarian. You remember Jesus saying to the Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the foundations of the earth. It was in the womb of Mary that Jesus took on flesh. That means that long before Jesus Christ became a human, long before Jesus became human, Jesus was already a person, because he said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And John chapter 1 verse 14 tells us clearly that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So it was the coming of Jesus into the world that was the occasion of Jesus taking upon himself flesh, which means Father, Son, and Spirit, as we call him, Holy Spirit, have existed eternally as immaterial persons. And John chapter 4 verse 24 thereabout tells us God is spirit. So we say God is a monarch spirit, God is a king spirit, God is a ruler spirit. Every of these adjectives that we use in designating God must be understood, as I said, in their superlative sense. So the highest possible conception of monarchy is what we are talking about. The highest possibility of kingship is what we are talking about. The highest possible conception of a ruler is what we're talking about when we talk about God. The only limit that God has, which is basically not a limit, is a limit of God's nature, is the limit of his own nature. There's nothing external to God that can impinge on the liberty and the abilities of God. So God is infinite in all of his abilities and all of his attributes, I mean to say. So we said, God, the uncreated spirit, is one kind of spirit. And then we said, in the created category, you can have two broad kinds also. And one kind would be heavenly created beings or heavenly created spirits. And then the second category would be the human spirit. What we've done this evening is to look at these spirits to justify this categorization and to see that God as the ruler spirit is a concept that is anchored in scripture, Psalm 115. Our God is in heaven and he has done whatever he has pleased, whatever he has pleased. So what you see in the world or what God has done is what God has pleased. God could have probably done differently at some point than whatever it is that God actually does. But what God does is what God pleases, is what pleases God. If it had pleased God for you to not exist, you would not exist, because our God is in heaven, is in the heavens, and he has done whatever pleases him. Then I said that part of God being creator is that God is responsible for all the other categories or kinds of spirits that exist. And we've seen that from scripture, that he is the one that makes his angels spirits. So God is responsible for the existence of angels. In Numbers, we also saw in the prayer of Moses and Co. that God is a God of the spirits of all flesh. So God is creator of all other kinds of spirits that exist. And we moved on to look at the heavenly spirits or heavenly created spirit beings. And we saw that also from Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7, then jumped down to verse 13 and 14. And then we talked about the human spirit, which is the last point that we have made this evening. I was quite ambitious, and I thought that we might have been able to go into the issue of the volition of spirits, and then to look at hierarchy, okay, spiritual hierarchy, and then to look at a scenario, a Bible story that brings all of the things that we have said together in one story. This was everything I thought I'd be able to deal with this evening, but obviously we don't have time to do that. So tomorrow morning, by God's grace, I'm going to be with you live in the city of Jos, and then we will continue from where we have stopped this evening. And so tomorrow morning, we are going to be continuing from the volition of spirits, because this is spiritocracy. There's no way that spirits can rule if spirits do not have volition. There's no way that spirits can rule if spirits do not have agency. And you are going to see how that interfaces with some of the dramas that you see going on in the Old Testament. You remember that one of the angels that brought instruction and a message to Nebuchadnezzar, as interpreted by Daniel, is that some of the things happening to Daniel was as a result of the decree of the watchers. It was a decree of the watchers. But whatever it was that the watchers had decreed was in tandem with what God wanted, because in that same verse, he talks about it being the position of the watchers, but at the end point will be that you will know that God is the one that rules in the affairs of men, not the watchers, even though it was the decree of the watchers. Somewhere in the book of Kings, you know the story also, when God is trying to get Ahab killed and all that, and he calls this meeting in the heavens and say, come, I need to get this guy out. And how do people plan to do that? And then this one said this one said that. And then one spirit came and said, I have an idea. And God said, okay, what is your plan? He said, well, I'm going to be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Volition. So we're going to be looking at some very interesting things in the course of this weekend and in the course of this series. I'm taking it gradually, because I want to be on ground, to be seeing everybody's face, at least on ground, in order to get into some of the deeper issues, because we might be saying things this weekend that might ruffle your theology a little bit. But we'll try to be as biblical as possible, and we'll try to be as methodical as possible. So with that, we come to the end of this evening's opening session. The Lord bless you, and I want to say a word of prayer over you wherever you are at this moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the privilege to be able to have this live stream, despite all of the hitches and the challenges that we have encountered. I ask, oh God, that as we begin to brood over these matters tonight, your spirit will lead us and that your spirit will bring us into all truth. I ask, oh God, that you will cause the idea of the fact that only spirits can rule to animate our spirit person so that we might take the health and the strength of our spirit very seriously, because it is in virtue of having spirit that we have any possibility of exercising rule and dominion. And so if our spirits are not in top form, then our capacity to rule is going to be crippled. And so, Lord, I ask that you will cause that in the course of this weekend, it will not just be about the dissemination of information, but that it will trigger a revolution in the heart of every man, in the heart of every woman, so that our spirit, we will give attention, we will give care and attention to our spirit, that our spirit might be the best that it can be in your hands. Lord, I ask that you will bless everyone that is on site in the city of Jos. Bless everyone that is viewing and watching and listening online on Mixlr, on Facebook, and on YouTube. I pray, dear Father, that you will cause that in the course of this night, our spirit will start to receive downloads from the King Spirit himself. You gave us a spirit so that you might be able to do business with us and that you might be able to do business through us. And we ask, oh God, that our spirit, we say to you, our spirits are available to you. Interact with us, engage us, encounter us in our spirit, and cause that our lives will matter where everything that matters must first matter. And that is in the realm of the spirit. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed, and God's people say, Amen.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.